Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Elections are consequential. By definition, their results move the direction of action, money, and power. Whether they are elections with tens of millions of voters, or only 10 voters, an election can have results that play out over decades. We're going to talk about one such election today. This day in Miami history. November 8th, 1960, when exactly 10 voters set sail across Biscayne Bay to create the municipality of Islandia, a decision that would have wide-ranging impact on Miami-Dade County well into the 21st century.
The high times and low times, all in the nightlife. Miami sunrise will open your eyes. But when the day breaks, you feel the sun kiss. If it's paradise on what you wish.
The territory that would become Islandia is significant in size. Located south of Key Biscayne and just north of Ocean Reef Key, it's more than 66 square miles. Now, the vast majority of the city was underwater, but its 6.5 square miles of land made it just slightly smaller in size than the city of Miami Beach. For decades before the 1960s, efforts were made to develop these keys off the coast of Dade County. The rapid dredging and filling of Biscayne Bay motivated developers to look south. After all, more than 40% of the area of North Biscayne Bay has either been dredged or filled to form artificial islands. All the efforts to develop these keys required some sort of transportation connection from the mainland. A causeway was first proposed in the 1920s to connect Key Biscayne with Elliott Key and then potentially all the way through to Key Largo. However, Commodore Ralph Middleton Monroe, considered one of the founding fathers of Coconut Grove, came out publicly against the plan. He described the land between Elliott Key and Key Biscayne as the safety valve, the sandy tidal flats between these two islands as essential to the management of storm surge for the mainland. Anything that plugged the safety valve, according to Monroe, would of course be damaged by serious storm surge, but it would also allow water to pile up in the bay and against mainland Dade without any seaward release, exacerbating the impact of tropical storms and hurricanes for those in the mainland, for those in places like Coconut Grove, for those in places like what's now Pinecrest. With the support of Monroe and another big name in South Florida's development, William J. Crome, the U.S. Geological Survey formally named this sandy bottom in 1927, months after the Great Miami Hurricane. The safety valve would now appear on maps of South Florida. While the activism of Monroe was key in defeating the development, something else was happening at the same time, an economic ebb. It put a damper on all kinds of development plans, including development in what would become Islandia. But the boom following World War II brought the idea back. The Dade County Commission moved unanimously to purchase land from Florida's Internal Improvement Fund to create filled islands and connect Key Biscayne and Key Largo. Opposition on Key Biscayne and legal fighting between dueling plans eventually led to the collapse of the effort later in the 1950s. But that wasn't the end of the strategy. instead of trying to get the county and the state to look in, real estate developers from Miami were going to try to build the connection outward by forming a city that would become Islandia. The Islandia project would not just be focused on transportation. It would be a full-on real estate development with, according to the founders, themselves real estate developers, an eye for preservation. Part of the land would be reserved as a state park, transferred to either the county or the state fully. But there would be hundreds and hundreds of units, hotels, commercial and real estate development on these keys. Why was incorporation necessary? It would allow the city to take out bonds against tax revenue in order to get the capital required to develop out the infrastructure of a new city. So on November 8th, 1960, 10 established registered voters who claimed primary residence on Islandia loaded up into their boats and sailed into Dinner Key to vote on the question of incorporation. All 10 said yes, they wanted to create Islandia. The following month, the Metro Dade Commission approved the vote and gave the community the authorization to draft and then later on again validate a city charter. The voters of Islandia would approve that city charter in July of 1961. A second effort at development nearby would appear to be the key to unlock the development of Islandia. What it turned out to be was the poison that killed the project and produced a national park. The secondary project was Sea Dade, an effort to develop an industrial port in South Dade County, just north of what is now Turkey Point Nuclear Power Plant and just east of Homestead Air Force Base. Billionaire shipping magnate Daniel Ludwig had been purchasing land around the proposed port since 1959. And in 1962, he made his plans public and got approval of the Metro Dade Commission. It seemed like the perfect fit. Ludwig would need a deep water channel to allow these large ships into the port, and a causeway from near the port to Islandia would seem a perfect opportunity to bring these two projects together. One problem was the asks of Islandia's leadership. Lester Brooks, who served as the city's mayor, did everything he could to minimize the financial impact on the residents of Islandia, which of course is his job. But his asks of Sea Dade were significant in attempting to relocate the original proposed location, as well as utilizing its financial backing to help support the construction of causeways from mainland Dade to Islandia. Here is Brooks.
Now, if we could get this high-level bridge to go in where the intercoastal waterway is, we'd save $1.5 million. Then if Sea Dade would put the dirt there, which we figure is about $1.5 million, so there's $3 million, then we would only have to raise $2 million if it was put in that form. So we would highly recommend that if the two places, two are to be, that you recommend that Sea Dade go north of the city of Islandia, which is about another mile north of where they've already proposed it.
Now, antagonizing one potential partner is a problem. But the bigger problem for Brooks and Islandia was that Sea Dade became a poisonous project in the community. Early on, it had support of the elected officials of Dade County, as well as the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce. But a real concerted effort by environmentalists push back on the development of an industrial port with oil refining capabilities in Biscayne Bay. The attention eventually became national, and pressure began to be applied on Secretary of the Interior Stuart Udall.
Well, this is going to come to a head very shortly. The National Parks Advisory Board considered it in their meeting at Big Bend National Park this week. I haven't gotten the results yet, but I think we're going to have to take a position on it, and I think we'll probably feel that it would be a fine addition to the national park system.
Udall and representative from Miami-Dade, Dante Fissell, would be two of the leading proponents of a national parks movement, creating something that had not existed in the continental United States before, a park in the national park system that was pretty much entirely underwater. It would be the condition of Biscayne Bay and its water that would be the attraction to tourists and naturalists and environmentalists.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This plan would not be unopposed. One of the biggest supporters of the Alandia development was a big name, Florida Governor Ferris Bryant.
Good afternoon.
Naturally, we will now take up the application by CDADE and Alandia for their separate causeway and channel, and I've asked the staff of the trustees to come in with recommendations relative to the granting of those requests.
Bryant supported the project. But even the Dade County Commission, which had authorized CDADE and had contentious negotiations with Alandia, but had established a broad consensus of what was in mind when it came to the development, had, by 1965, about-faced. They supported the national park, too. And there would be an important ally in that fight, with deep pockets. That was Herbert W. Hoover, Jr., not related to the former president, directly related to the founder of the vacuum company. Hoover Jr. spent time around the rugged Keys in the northern part of Islandia as a child, and it was impactful to him. And he decided to throw his support behind the creation of a national monument or national park, and was a vocal supporter, providing funding for tours aboard the Goodyear blimp, which at that point was docked at Watson Island, to local, state, and national government officials in order to build support for the park. To him, preservation was key.
During the past 2 months, a task force working for the Hoover Company has considered means of saving the Alandia Bay Area from commercialization. The conclusion of this group supports the national monument concept as the only satisfactory and permanent solution. Until the Alandia chain is monumented nationally, it will be subjected to a continuing series of proposals for commercialization. Approval of any one of these proposals would start an impressive chain reaction of destruction of Biscayne Bay.
But Alandia wasn't about to fight with empty pockets. Remember, a significant part of the momentum behind this project included influential real estate developers in South Florida. And so, the community decided to tax itself, raising property taxes to an unprecedented level to prepare for the fight. Mayor Brooks explains.
Yes, we definitely then, in my opinion, will ask the state to give us our right-of-way, and then the people of Islandia has expressed themselves that they would be willing now to go for a ad valorem bond issue. But the unfortunate part about it, for the good of all, as then the people of Islandia could not afford to give to the people of Florida and to Dade County about $15 million worth of oceanfront properties, because we would need all the property we could have there to be taxed to pay this revenue bond issue off. But we must open these islands.
Mayor Brooks wasn't joking around when he talked about the tax rate. It would be 33 mills for the property owners of Islandia. That means $33 of tax per year on each $1,000 worth of value of property. Now remember, these properties are rather undeveloped, so the value was not astronomical. The hope would be in the future that the development would make the properties much more valuable, and the city commission would then be able to reduce the tax rate. But still, it was a significant financial contribution from the owners of the city in order to, one, attempt to fight back against the limitations that were attempting to be placed on the development, and two, build the thing themselves, if possible. But the answer was, it wasn't possible. There weren't enough financial resources to build Islandia on its own without the support of either the state or the local governments. They got neither by the back half of the 1960s. And in 1968, Congress passes a bill, and President Johnson signs Public Law 9606 on October 18, 1968, creating Biscayne National Monument. Ironically, Johnson had some familiarity with the region. He had been one of the many famous guests to visit the Cocolobo Fishing Club, owned by Florida banker and familiar name to those of you that know Miami history, Charles Bebe Rebozo. Here's the bill's biggest supporter, Representative Dante Fissell, speaking after its signing into law in 1968.
It's certainly a great victory for the people of South Florida, children of all ages, for today and generations to come. It's a great victory for the people of the United States because we have set aside as a public park and recreation area with beautiful values of all kinds for enjoyment of people for now and forever, one of the most unusual areas in the entire world. And none of this would have been possible without the tremendous support of many, many people and interested groups, particularly the conservation groups at the local level and nationally. And we owe a great debt of gratitude to the Audubon Society, the Isaac Walton League, and many, many others who have dedicated themselves to conservation in this country of ours.
As defeat was closing in for the development of Islandia, the owners decided to take one final drastic step, a covert operation against the law of Miami-Dade County to attempt to spoil the natural beauty of what would become Biscayne National Park. The Islandia City Commission and Mayor Ralph Fossey entered into a contract with Bill Young, who operated a land clearing firm. The firm was signed to clear Elliott Key Boulevard. Now, Elliott Key Boulevard had been platted and labeled in county documents as of 1954, but no permit had ever been issued to actually build the road. That didn't stop Bill Young. Ultimately, Young plowed an 8-mile-long, 125-foot-wide swath through the untouched vegetation of Elliott Key. But that last gasp of desperation failed, and the park became reality. And now, what's known as the Spite Highway is a defining feature of Biscayne National Park, and its only true hiking trail. I think this serves a valuable lesson, that even something done out of anger, in haste, and with bad intentions, can ultimately produce something useful, valuable, even beautiful, in time, as long as it's given the right support to change and grow. I want to thank those responsible for this episode. And first, I want to thank a good friend and listener of the show, Shannon Watson Schmidt, who suggested this topic to me, I believe, more than a year ago, just over a year ago. And the time wasn't quite right to do it last year, but doing it this year seemed perfect. So thank you very much, Shannon. Thank you for your support and your friendship. Secondly, the Wolfson Archive, that's where all the audio came from today. The archive of the Miami Herald and the Miami News on newspapers.com, and the website for Biscayne National Park, which has a variety of great historical resources about the development of the park and really kind of the geological, climatological, and personal histories of South Florida. So a great historical resource there. I will encourage you to follow at This Day Miami Pod on social media, including Instagram and Facebook, and really trying to build out the Blue Sky presence. Every place you can find us at This Day Miami Pod, as well as thisdaymiamipod.com. Make sure you leave some feedback if you like the episode. If you don't like it, you can email me at thisdaymiamipod@gmail.com. If you do like this episode and this series, I encourage you to visit your preferred podcast provider. There was a great bit of feedback from a Apple Podcast user, Mako887, that he left in response to our episode with Don Slesnick and the Brown House on October 26th, wrote that, "I was on duty with the City of Miami Fire Department when this happened. The unit I was assigned to that day responded to the scene. What a mess. I was angry that I didn't have my camera with me." I love that kind of like eyewitness account to something we talk about here. That's part of developing our history too. And if it comes with a 5-star review, I ain't complaining. So thank you very much, Mako887. And thank you very much to the listener for tuning in on your preferred podcast provider. And until next time, I've been Matthew Bunch. The high times and low times, all in the nightlife.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.